It's the day to have your say. And across the country, millions of Canadians are doing just that, casting their ballot in an election like no other.
Going to the polls in a pandemic. The promises and the partisanship, they're over now. The decision resting in the hands of you, the voters.
36 days of campaigning coming down to this. What will Canada's next parliament look like? And who will lead it? And will we even know the answer tonight? The stakes are high, and so is the excitement level. We're about to find out together. Good evening. Here we go. We welcome you to a special edition of CTV News at 6, counting down to the start of our national coverage in 30 minutes.
In Ontario, you have until 9:30 to vote if you haven't already. Many say it's what happens here that will help shape Canada's political future. Let's start with CTV's Sean Leithong, live outside a polling station in the riding of Parkdale High Park. Sean, what's the day been like?
It's been a busy one, Michelle. You can see the lineup behind me. And, of course, they've been having to watch things like people bringing their proper ID, but also social distancing and masking.
It's election day, a 36-day campaign to decide Canada's 44th parliament. But one pandemic is making this unique.
I feel pretty good. I'm excited that I get to do it.
Relatively, it's the same so far, but, you know, obviously.
To vote in person, voters must go to their assigned polling station listed on their voter card. They must provide ID with proof of address and expect longer wait times. Outside this polling station in Parkdale, lines extended this morning, frustrating some.
You're standing in line, and then once you go down, there's hardly anybody there.
I spoke to one of the people in there, and they said they basically the problem is contact tracing. They only have one person doing contact tracing.
Beyond contact tracing, masks are mandatory. Single-use pencils are available, but voters can also bring their own pen or pencil. Hand sanitizing stations are also available, and there are physical distancing markers at polling stations. Elections Canada is working to accommodate. Due to the pandemic, a record of almost 5.8 million advance votes were cast, and over 800,000 mail-in votes are expected.
So while voters have been told to expect longer than usual lines, many of these lines have been fluctuating all day, and some people we spoke to said it's felt much like a normal year.
So far it's been maybe 20 minutes I've been here, not crazy.
It feels like a normal voting day in my opinion. So, yeah, as long as we vote, that's what counts.
Some say a short campaign in a pandemic is what has them most concerned.
There's a lot of things about trying to understand entire platforms when you've only got a month to figure it out and everything else that's going on during the pandemic.
Others like Joy, who is originally from Nigeria, are just excited to take part.
I want to vote because it's my first time.
And there is still a lot of time to get out and cast a vote.
So in this particular area, there is this voting station here, and then there are actually two others on the same block, and they've been ebbing and flowing all day, and they'll continue until 9:30 tonight. Reporting live, I'm Sean Leithong. I'll send it back inside.
Thank you, Sean. And they crisscrossed the nation for over a month, pushing themselves and their platforms right up to the last minute.
But tonight, the federal party leaders are back in their home ridings, joining other Canadians in awaiting the results. CTV's Heather Butts reports.
With his three children at his side, Liberal leader Justin Trudeau cast his ballot in Canada's 44th federal election, one that he called during a pandemic. Before leaving, Trudeau chatted with those working the poll in his Papineau riding, greeting voters along the way.
Are you vaccinated?
Yeah, I'm vaccinated.
Good. That's the right thing. Thank you.
Trudeau ran his campaign to the bitter end.
Hello, BC! Oh, man, it feels so good to see you guys tonight.
Making his way west on Sunday to finish off with a late-night rally in Burnaby.
Good morning.
Conservative leader Aaron O'Toole and his wife Rebecca cast their ballots at a Bowmanville, Ontario recreation complex in his riding of Durham. O'Toole spent his final day of the campaign with supporters in southern Ontario.
Good evening, Toronto! Wow! A beautiful night in a beautiful city in the best country in the world, Canada!
Making multiple stops in hotly contested ridings in a final push for votes. NDP leader Jagmeet Singh already cast his ballot during advance polls, opting to spend part of Election Day meeting with volunteers. It's been an exhausting 36 days for federal leaders, with the Conservatives and Liberals running neck and neck for weeks.
It's going to be interesting to see whether what we've seen in the polls this whole time is reflected in what we see in the election results and the seat count.
This will be an election day unlike any other, held during a global pandemic. Voting hours are staggered across the country, bringing results throughout the night. Heather Butts, CTV News, Montreal.
Ridings across the GTA are at the center of this campaign, and for voters in one large constituency in downtown Toronto, there's a glaring difference to keep in mind today. CTV's Beth McDonnell is live in Spadina, Fort York, with that story. Beth.
Nathan, Kevin Vaughn's name and Liberal affiliation are on the ballot because it appears a controversy around this candidate only came to light after the deadline for a candidate to withdraw. That was back on August 30th. Elections Canada needs to print the ballots, and voters in this riding, many of them are shocked and confused. His name and party affiliation are still on that ballot. As voters line up to cast their ballots in Spadina, Fort York, the choice before them is different than it was just 2 days ago, catching some leaving the polling station by surprise.
I did not hear.
Disgruntling others who voted at advance polls.
It's a drag. It's like I wasted a vote. Because I voted for him, and now there's not going to be a Liberal candidate.
Kevin Vaughn, the now former Liberal candidate, was dropped Saturday by the party after the Toronto Star reported he was charged with sexual assault in 2019, a charge later withdrawn. Vaughn has not responded to CTV's request for an interview. Vaughn told the Star the allegations were false, and he vigorously fought them. It's raised questions about the vetting process.
If the charges were withdrawn, you gotta let it go.
You have to blame the Liberals for not figuring out, vetting him properly.
A Vaughn campaign sign was still up across the street from one polling station as people waited to vote. Some social media pages still identifying him as a Liberal. Friday, the party asked Vaughn to pause his campaign, the next day adding he would not sit as a Liberal even if he wins the seat.
Almost made me don't want to vote, to be honest, because I thought there's no point of voting if there's not the candidate you want to kind of be representing you.
I guess he'll be an independent if he gets elected. For me, it's a little odd, and I'm sure it'll affect people's decision.
Are there any precedents for this? Like, that's bizarre.
It's not fair to the other candidates as well, because what's going to happen now?
The Liberals won Spadina, Fort York by a wide margin in 2019. It was considered a safe seat, now up in the air. Elections Canada says its job is to count and validate votes. What happens next is up to the House of Commons. I spoke to one political science professor about this. He told me a by-election would be rare. If Vaughn wins, it looks like he would sit as an independent. Reporting live, I'm Beth McDonnell.
All right, thank you, Beth. And that's just one of the local ridings we're going to keep a close eye on over the course of the night.
We have reporters in battlegrounds across the GTA as every vote is counted. CTV's Rahim Ladani is in Toronto Centre.
The Toronto Centre riding is certainly one to watch tonight. It's a virtual repeat of the 2020 by-election that sent Liberal incumbent Marcy Ian to Ottawa. But Green Party leader Annamie Paul is hoping third time's the charm as she tries to win this riding. Paul has spent much of the campaign locally, even setting up a physical headquarters in downtown Toronto, something she didn't do last election. Now, for Paul specifically, a lot of people are saying this is an important night. What does her political future look like if she doesn't win, and how tenable is it for her to continue to lead a party without a seat in the House of Commons? NDP candidates Brian Chang, Conservative Ryan Lester, and People's Party of Canada say Jaffrey are also vying for the seat, and so it should be a tight race as the night unfolds.
If there is any riding the NDP could take from the Liberals in the 416, it could be this one, the riding of Davenport. In both 2019 and 2015, Liberal incumbent Julie Zurowicz won the riding by less than 1,500 votes. Before that, it was an NDP riding. It's expected to be another tight race tonight. Top issues in this riding: the cost of childcare, the cost of housing, and the climate. Julie Zurowicz's team telling us that voters are telling them out the door they're happy with how she's taken the lead during COVID. And even though this is the first time that Alexandra Bravo is running as an NDP candidate, she's no stranger to this riding. She grew up here and is now raising her family, been living here for more than 20 years. She believes that she will be the one to flip this riding orange.
I'm Austin Delaney in Milton. Traditionally, this riding has been a battle between the Conservatives and the Liberals.
In the last election, the Liberals put forth a star candidate, Adam Van Cuverden, the former Olympic gold medal kayaker. He won the riding. He beat longtime MP Conservative Lisa Raitt, who was also the deputy party leader. The Conservatives want it back. They've put up Nadeem Akbar. He's in IT. The Conservatives say the talk around town is all about why do the Liberals have to call an election during a pandemic. Liberals say it's all about who's best to lead the country out of the pandemic. The NDP, the People's Party of Canada, and the Greens all have candidates. This is a riding to watch.
All right, lots to keep track of, and it all starts at 6:30. Chief anchor and senior editor Lisa Laflamme will be joined by an expert panel along with reporters right across our country. You can watch right here on CTV, on CTV News Channel, or stream at ctvnews.ca.
And when the polls close, you can zoom in on the results from Ontario with live personalized coverage of local ridings. That's at ctvnewstoronto.ca and on the CTV News app.
Next to the other big story tonight in the COVID-19 development that's making many families listen up.
The push to protect more children from the virus and one vaccine one step closer to being available. CTV's Natalie Johnson reports.
Many parents picking up their kids from school today had heard the news. Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine was one step closer to being available to kids aged 5 to 11. Grade 6 student David Morrison, excited at the prospect of getting it now that he's back to in-person learning.
For the most part, it's just extra protection.
I think everybody should be vaccinated.
The drug giant announced this morning that its clinical trials have demonstrated that the shot is both safe and effective in kids aged 5 to 11. The dose is a third of the size of the vaccine given to adults.
They didn't see any safety signals, and the kids had a pretty robust immune response.
COVID-19 vaccine trials are undergoing scrutiny of historic proportions. Obviously, the scientific community and the public are paying very close attention to these trials. They're large, they're well done.
In the U.S., the vaccine could be approved for kids 5 to 11 by the end of October. Health Canada has not received any official submission from Pfizer for this age group yet, but experts are hopeful that, if approved here, the turnaround time could be quick.
We're hopeful that maybe this happens before the end of the year, but even maybe in an accelerated timeline. But really, it's really hard to say at this point in time, but we are encouraged by the news.
I'm hoping that if it's safe and effective, that this can be rapidly implemented, maybe in a school-based program, to try to keep kids safe so we can really blunt the impact of the fourth wave.
Pfizer Canada says it plans to ask for approval here for that age group as soon as possible. Natalie Johnson, CTV News.
Meanwhile, Public Health Ontario is logging 610 new cases in its most recent update. 458 of those cases are among people who are either not fully vaccinated or their vaccination status is unknown. Roughly 24,000 tests have been processed in the last 24 hours, and the province's positivity rate is sitting at 2.7%.
628 additional cases are now considered resolved, raising that total to more than 564,000 over the course of the pandemic. Two more deaths are linked to the virus, meaning 9,655 lives have been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
They were taken off the table at the start of the school year, but now extracurriculars could be making a comeback.
Toronto Public Health updating its guidance, opening the door for some activities to return. CTV's Mike Walker reports.
After starting the school year pause, Toronto Public Health is now recommending sports, clubs, and field trips can gradually resume.
School is not really as fun, like not as interactive and stuff, so it's going to make a big difference.
A change in guidance from just 2 weeks ago.
These routines are getting more and more established, and so now I think there is this opportunity to gradually introduce more.
But health officials are recommending that extracurricular activities start with students aged 12 to 17. A group that is eligible for the COVID-19 vaccine.
It is yet another factor that increases safety and health in this context.
As part of the new guidance, high contact and high intensity activities are only recommended for outdoors. That includes students from other schools and mixed cohorts. Low contact and low intensity activities are allowed indoors with masking and physical distancing.
So when you're having other schools visit your school, that's what we're trying to keep to a minimum while at the same time allowing these extracurriculars to continue.
What we can expect to see is really a gradual return to offering these opportunities
Certainly, if you drive by one of our schools in the coming week, you're going to be seeing practices happening outside.
School bands also allowed without the use of wind and brass instruments, and field trips can gradually resume, but overnight trips are discouraged.
It's really important for kids to be able to resume their usual activities because it's very important for the kids' development.
Public health is also recommending schools screen all participants and staff and keep attendance records to help with contact tracing. Mike Walker, CTV News.
Just ahead, among the millions of people who have voted, some are doing it for the very first time. New Canadians getting a chance to have their say, and it's a responsibility they are taking very seriously.
Well, we had perfect weather for getting to the polls today and extending into the evening as well. We reached a high of 23 degrees, sitting at 21 right now. I hope you enjoyed today's sunshine because things are about to change in terms of our forecast. We are looking at showers starting up this evening. We're already seeing them in southwestern Ontario. If you're in the GTA, it will be likely that we'll see them in and around the 9 o'clock hour. Temperatures are still quite warm throughout the region. Humidity will last into tomorrow, but a very different day with overcast conditions and showers. I'll be back in 2 minutes with your full forecast. You'll want to know what's happening on Wednesday as we kick off fall. There's a lot of rain on the way. Stay with us.
All right, tonight's the night that many people might be outside, maybe standing in line.
I don't think we could have asked for better weather. Gorgeous shot of our city right now, Michelle. This is not going to stop anyone from voting today.
Not today, and thankfully it's been very cooperative today, Michelle and Nathan, but we are looking at weather changing significantly as we get into the middle of the week, so we're going to talk about that. Weather is brought to you by Train for home comfort, cooling, and clean air. It's hard to stop a train. So yes, lovely weather today, a little breezy at times. Temperatures have been warmer than seasonal, and we have also been seeing feeling a bit of a humidex reading. Right now it's 22, feeling like 26 in Toronto. We got to a high of 23 degrees. So it has been a warm weather. 32 degrees in Windsor right now, where we expect the possibility of showers continuing there. Overnight tonight, by around the 9 o'clock, 9:30 hour, that's when we start to see showers pushing into the GTA. 20 degrees will be our forecast overnight low. That's very warm for this time of the year. Should be hitting 10 in the overnight. And we continue warm into tomorrow for the most part. We're trending a little bit above our seasonal high of 22 degrees, but what's more significant is that we're holding onto a humidex value of 27. So it's going to feel a little bit muggy. And we have showers to contend with throughout the day, and then the potential for seeing some thunderstorms as we get into the evening. And that's all with a system that will be moving in that's been causing lots of problems for northwestern Ontario. It's a slow-moving system. We have showers in advance of it. And then it has the potential for bringing thunderstorms and heavier rainfall. I have seen projections of at least 70 to 75 millimeters in a 48-hour period with this system. So there's a concern for localized flooding, especially if it goes more than that. So putting your forecast radar in motion, seeing some showers in the overnight, and then watch as we get into Tuesday. We see those showers roll through in the early morning time, perhaps for school drop-off or your commute. Heavier rain for cottage country, certainly. And then by the time we get to Tuesday night, this is when the heavier rain and the thunderstorms really do begin. So watch for watches and warnings due to thunderstorms and heavier rainfall. Wednesday is going to be a heavy rain day, and yes, it is the first day of fall. So 22 tomorrow with those showers, 18 degrees for Wednesday. With heavier rain, rain extends into Thursday and a high of just 16 degrees, so it's going to feel like fall. Stay with us, of course. There's lots more to come after the break. We'll have, of course, continuing election coverage, and we'll be back in just about 2 minutes.
Welcome back. And as you can see, we've moved positions here in the studio as we prepare for the start of our election coverage.
Our team is getting ready to bring you every aspect of this night, starting at 6:30. But for now, we'll return to some news. And starting in November, Canadians flying to the U.S. will need to be fully vaccinated.
But some who are double dose may still not be allowed in. The White House has not given any details on which vaccines will be considered acceptable. So Canadians who got the AstraZeneca shot may not qualify to enter the U.S. That's because the vaccine is not approved there.
Meanwhile, the ban on Canadians driving to the U.S. will continue through to October 21st. It's the latest extension of restrictions on non-essential travel at the land border. Canada started allowing fully vaccinated Americans back in for non-essential travel last month. Off the African coast, a volcanic eruption has destroyed more than 100 homes.
But no one has been hurt after the blast prompted an urgent evacuation. The lava on one of the Canary Islands might last for weeks or months, but the immediate danger to residents appears to be over. The lava is headed to the Atlantic Ocean, where it could spark explosions and clouds of toxic steam.
Stay with us, going to the polls for the first time when we come back. It is perhaps easy to forget how fortunate we are as Canadians to be able to vote.
And that certainly rings true for many newcomers, some of whom are casting a ballot for the first time. Here's CTV's Scott Lightfoot.
Throughout the day, a steady stream of people walked up to the Hellenic Cultural Center in Thorncliffe Park, ready to vote.
I'm very excited.
19-year-old Tayyab Chaudhry was casting his first ever ballot in the first election since he's been voting age.
It feels very good, excited to vote for the first time in Canada.
Others voting for the first time since becoming Canadian citizens, like Alejandra Cortina, who became a citizen earlier this year after moving from Mexico.
This is my right, and this is my responsibility as a citizenship now.
That right, heartily embraced by some who've never had it before.
I haven't voted before because I've never gotten the opportunity to, but like this year is like the first time I'm going to come and vote.
Zarina Hamidi came to Canada from Afghanistan and today voted for the first time.
We are the voice and you are getting to hear what we want. You're getting to see the choices that we make and the people that we want to see representing us and talking for us.
Hamidi came with her friend who says she's had the opportunity but just never voted until this election.
I wanted to vote because I wanted to be a part of the community and I wanted to put my input in it this time.
Being a part of the process is something embraced by many, including those who moved here decades ago, like Sarah Brown, who says she's voted in every election since coming to Canada more than 45 years ago.
I am here. I am a Canadian citizen, so I always love to vote.
The opportunity to vote not being taken lightly by many here, even those who've never chosen to do it before.
It's a very, very important election. And I think I educated myself more about what all the candidates represent this time around. And so I felt like it was really important for me to come in and have my say.
Having a say in the future of the country they call home is what matters most, said many of those voting today, regardless of the outcome of this election. Scott Lightfoot, CTV News.
And there's still time to vote. The polls close at 9:30 tonight. You must go to the assigned polling station listed on your voter card and be sure to take ID with proof of address. Masks are mandatory.
All right, the anticipation is palpable and we're your destination for full election analysis tonight. Every race, every story, every platform as Canadians make their decision about the country's political future.
And we'll be here as long as it takes until we know the outcome. Our crews are standing by across the country to bring you complete coverage of this unprecedented vote.
Yes, special coverage of election 2021 starts right now.
Stay with us. We've got lots more just ahead. The excitement is palpable.